they wait in the car and they get a text message or a phone call when their operatory is ready. That you avoid or minimize operations that can produce droplets or aerosols. Use rubber dams as much as possible. Rinse the oral cavity slowly, avoiding unnecessary splatter. Use high-speed evacuation for all dental procedures producing an aerosol. Have the patient use an antimicrobial rinse before starting a dental procedure. ADA suggests using 1% hydrogen peroxide. And avoid or minimize procedures that may induce coughing, such as taking routine x-rays. And then they also included, we recommend the following procedures for your employees. Employers encourage, back up a little bit, that they did the same thing that Dr. Taylor said, that they screened their patients via the phone as they're confirming to make sure there was no out-of-state travel and how they were feeling before they even got to the office.
Right,
including
right,
fever.
Very good.
But then there were bullet points that they recommended for following procedures for your employees. Employers encourage employees to report symptoms of acute respiratory illness, stay home, and not return to work until they are free from symptoms for at least 24 hours without using fever-relieving or symptom-altering medications. Infection control. If an employee appears to be sick upon arrival to work, they should be separated from other employees and sent home immediately. Employees cover up proper sneeze with a tissue and disinfect frequently touched objects and surfaces using regular household cleaning spray or wipes. Employees wash hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. We know all this, but again, put it in. And bear with me, because there's one more chart that I thought was also very good. The CDC recommends healthcare facilities, including dental offices, screen patients before proceeding with an appointment. Information to take note of. Any individual who exhibits or reports signs of acute respiratory illness, such as coughing, fever, and shortness of breath. Recent travel to locations that have level 3 travel health notice for COVID-19, and then it's actually listed out, or I listed it out, based on the link they provided. Verify when the patient returns to the United States. If the patient reports that at least 2 weeks have passed since their return from one of the identified regions and no symptoms have presented, the dental office can proceed with the appointment. When local, state, or federal public health officials declare the disease is at the community level, screening for travel is not necessary. Close contact with an individual diagnosed with COVID-19, and dentists may also send a notice advising patients who are experiencing acute respiratory illness to remain home and reschedule appointments. So I know that was a lot, I apologize, but I just
but that's good, Heather, very good.
If people continue based on their practice needs to stay open and treat the non-emergent procedures, that then we've given guidance on that as well.
And with regard to hygienists, that can be an individual decision by them and the office whether they're going to clean teeth or not. Because that is an elective, and if they want to clean teeth, then they can. If they don't, then they can stay home. There's also the biggest issue with this virus is the fever. The fever, the dry cough. There's no runny nose. There's no mucus. It's dry cough and fever, respiratory distress. So we ought to say in there that when they do come in, that they be tested with one of those fever or thermometer things that just puts up against your head and it tells you your temperature. And if you're, because that's what they're doing when they come back in the United States from out of the country, all they're doing is doing a fever check. And if they're normal, they're let back into the country. So that's what I would say, include that part of checking the fever too within the offices. So it's the individual responsibility of the doctor to decide whether he's going to keep his practice open or not. If we say you should shut this down for 3 to 4 weeks,
Dr. Taylor, no one's saying to shut down their offices. Nobody said that, Dr. Taylor. Nobody's advocating
you said in your thing just now at the beginning when you read it that for three to four weeks that they only do emergency procedures
and no elective procedures. That's not what it said.
Okay, good.
Let's look at the verbiage, the language. It's really important for everybody to note the language.
Can I interrupt you real quick?
Yes.
This is just for a procedural thing. Morgan Berg has joined the phone call. Am I correct, Morgan? Apparently I'm incorrect. I got a text that said she, but for the record, we were going to state her presence, so I guess not.
Real quick, this is Sean with the Arizona Dental Association, and to the point that additional information about, you know, because again, if we're not coming down with the mandate, as it seems that the Arizona, you know, Board of Dental Examiners can't come down with the mandate, and it's still, you know, for each one's professional judgment, each dentist and dental professional to make the judgment call, then having that additional material to the extent their professional judgment says stay open, I think is definitely the type of information that those individuals are looking for to know how best to go about continuing. So I think include whatever statement we include, if you can include something like that, I think that'd be beyond helpful.
So, Dr. Taylor, this is Dr. Morrow.
Real quick, if I interrupted Dr. Beanstalk, Dr. Morrow, let's let her get back to her point, and then we'll roll back to other people's comments. I interrupted her on a protocol thing, and then looks like she got interrupted.
Well, it's okay. I was just going to say that it's important to note the language of non-essential or non-urgent dental care. We are not, as a board, we are not defining non-essential or non-urgent dental care. It is up to the dentists to, you always say it best, Dr. Hero.
To act prudently and reasonably when electing who to treat.
And by saying the statement at the, sorry, put on the spot, Dr. Hero. By repeating the statement at the bottom of that, as healthcare professionals, it is up to the dentist to make well-informed decisions about their patients and their practices. Meaning, again, it is up to the dentist to make those decisions. I also, for the record, want to make note that we are one of the only boards in this country that has not come out with a recommendation. And if you, did you send that email to?
Just to you.
Okay, so if we look at the other board's recommendations, and again, I don't want to take too much of everyone's time, but Alaska recommended to suspend non-urgent dental care for 3 weeks. Arkansas recommended to suspend all non-urgent dental care. California recommended to suspend non-essential or non-urgent dental care. And I can just keep going down the lines.
Right. Okay.
But Dr. Morrow
This is Tarman. I also say that's true, but California, our neighbor, is 2 weeks. Nevada, our neighbor, is 2 weeks. Why are we at 3 weeks? Where did that number seem arbitrary?
That was based
but
on
until
the
until we get more information.
That was based
it
on.
It came across the ADA yesterday.
Yeah,
all right.
The American Dental Association.
So I'm gonna add a few things here. My past 48 hours has done nothing but deal with COVID. I started on phone calls yesterday at 5 a.m. and it went till 7 p.m. Dr. Beanstalk and I talked about this a little bit last night, and that was one of the things I suggested to Dr. Taylor, is that's why the last paragraph of her thing says, we understand we will have questions about what to do next following this announcement. As licensed dental practitioners, we urge you to do what is best for your practice in the communities you serve and your patients, and agree it should have staff on there, and their ongoing dental needs. To quote the ADA, as healthcare professionals, it's up to the dentist to make well-informed decisions about their patients and practices for the most up-to-date information and support, continue checking the webpage. And I think that covers us legally to be able to say, hey, you guys, you have licenses, and that's why I put licensed dental practitioners, because that includes hygienists, to make decisions pertaining to your practice, your communities you serve, and your team, and what's best for you. And if we put that in at the end, just tells them, okay, this is what the suggestion is. We're going to follow the ADA guidelines. The ADA guidelines yesterday came out with a 3-week notice. I hated it. Drove me nuts. And believe me, I still am doing non-essential dentistry too. But we are taking everybody's temperature. We have eliminated any magazines in the front. No one sits in front. Everyone's escorted right to their chairs or stays in their car. They're read a questionnaire stating that they have to, you know, their travel history, if they've been sick, all those other things. Everybody's rinsing when they come into the office. We have hand sanitizer that they have to use before they start the procedures. I mean, I've never gone through rigorous things like this before, but In the end, we have to err on the side of being conservative, because if this is horrendously awful and we haven't come up with a statement, just as if it was not awful at all and we came across too hard. I'd rather err on the side of being too hard rather than too lenient.
Yeah. This is Dr. Taylor again. Go ahead, Dr. Taylor.
I've got a few points for y'all, but go ahead.
Real quick, again, the thing that worries me is not using the term, the terminology, I mean, the language of non-essential. Well, 70% of the stuff you do in dentistry is non-essential. It can hold out for 3, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. So then you're stuck with the essential stuff, and that's basically emergency. So basically, you are saying you're shutting your offices down. And that worries me to use that type of verbiage. I know the ADA used that, but I'm telling you right now, if this all comes out that it's right now, there's no evidence, no science-based evidence that we're transmitting the virus in the dental office.
But there is scientifically based evidence that we are the most susceptible to the virus as dental professionals of all the professions, because we work in the mouth and the virus is transmitted via respiratory droplets. So if we're the
right.
more susceptible,
so that's why we take the precautionary step of telling our patients, if you're sick or if you're having problems breathing, you don't come in the office. But to tell everyone a blanket statement that no one can come in the office unless they have an emergency is putting not only the public in a problem, but giving the dentist a foundation in which to say, you know, this is all a big hype, and we did all this stuff, we lost a month's worth of revenue, and we're suing the state and we're suing the board for what they made. We need to be very careful in our verbiage and how we use it, because right now, the verbiage where it says non-essential, that's 70% of my practice at one time, and my son-in-law's practice, and several of these other dentists, I said the same thing to them, and the verbiage really upset them, that non-essential.
Would you rather use the verbiage non-urgent?
What if we do something like this? I think it could answer both of what Dr. Taylor's concerned with, but also still keep to the point of what the statement says. How, like Dr. Morrow said, that added paragraph on the bottom that quoted, to quote the ADA, as healthcare professionals, it is up to the dentist to make well-informed decisions about their patients and practices. What if we move that sentence up to just after the bold in paragraph 2? So it would read, the Arizona Dental Board recommends that dentists practicing in Arizona voluntary suspend da 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 da, and then say, to quote the ADA, as healthcare professionals, it is up to dentists to make well-informed decisions about their patients and practices, end of quote. As always, the dental board hopes and urges dentists to continue to be available as needed for emergency care and services, but to take appropriate and enhanced precautionary measures for patient safety as well as the safety of staff and themselves. And then we can add on where it also says down at the bottom to do what's best for your communities that you serve and your patients' ongoing dental needs. Just a suggestion, if we flip some of that around to see if that reads a bit more, because I can hear what Dr. Taylor's point is, how it does seem like we're recommending that they stop based on the ADA's recommendation for everything part of those things. But I wonder if we shift it, that it would also read for both, that it's, we are in support of that, but we're leaving it up to what your practice needs.
Right.
I agree.
We are in support of the ADA recommendations, which their recommendations are to suspend non-urgent and non-essential dental care for 3 weeks. Not anywhere is it said to close our offices only for emergencies. It's up to interpretation of the dentist.
But the people, Dr. Beanstalk, they're interpreting that. That means that they don't do any dental hygiene work at all, and they don't do any fillings or restorative or crown or bridge. or anything. It's only to get people out of pain. In other words, do a pulpotomy, do a temporary in a cavity until we can get them back and fix it. So you're basically down to nothing.
This is McLean. I just wanted to let you know that is the same thing that everybody up in Flagstaff is worried about. We're all afraid that tomorrow we can't come to work.
This is Dr. Taylor again. Again, I've talked to several dentists. I'm not going to tell you how many, but quite a few. And they said if this comes out to be nothing, they will get together, and there's lawyers out there that love to do this, do a class action suit against the state and the board.
But then that means that every single state and every single state board is going to have a class action lawsuit, because every other board
don't put it past it.
Louisiana mandated, their board mandated that practice is closed for 30 days. We're not mandating any of this.
This is Heidi.
This is Goodman. Man.
Yes, you've been waiting, Mr. Goodman.
Thank you. So to Dr. Morrow's point of having worked on this for the last day and a half, I've been working on this as a CEO of an OBGYN practice for about 2 weeks. We haven't had adequate supplies of face masks since February. We treat people that we have no choice. Their care has to continue. And if somebody has the flu or COVID-19 or any of those suspected things, we now are in the spot we have to send them to the ER, because we can't care for them in the office. Labor and deliveries won't see these women. And what I keep coming back to is dentistry has the face masks that we need. We can't protect our own employees, but you guys can. And I feel for you. The financial impact, I totally agree with you. This would be horrific for dental practices to close. I just, during this call, got a text message from my dental practice where they basically said, look at your email, we're following the ADA guidelines on COVID-19. So the dental practice I personally go to has chosen to self-follow. I think as a board, we could, instead of sending a letter to the dentist, send a letter to the governor urging him to act. And then if he were to choose to direct dentistry to not give non-urgent, non-essential care, then it could be on his watch. And that's what other states are doing. And my understanding is that the governor is closing the ski resorts in Colorado, things of that nature. Well, if the governor tells you you can't practice, then it's not the dental board, it's the governor.
That's my big concern. This is Harvey, sorry. That's my big concern with the 3 weeks. The governor's office, from my understanding, is looking for direction from us. If we tell them 3 weeks, they may run with it. If the dental board says 3 weeks, let's do 6. Everybody shut down 6 weeks. We don't know what they're going to do.
They can interpret
whatever we say, whatever.
If the ADA is recommending 3 weeks, what do you recommend we should recommend then?
Well, the ADA is a national organization. Our neighboring states are both doing 2 weeks.
I still think that we should just change the verbiage. I think that we should say the Arizona Dental Board supports the ADA's statement on voluntary suspending non-essential, non-urgent dental care for the next 3 weeks. Then we add in that bottom paragraph, as healthcare professionals, it is up to the dentist to make well-informed decisions about their patients and practices, again, quoting the ADA. So and then add in, since we can't mandate this, if your practice continues to treat, here are recommendations from us to, again, reduce COVID-19. And we add those other bullet points of all the different things that can be done in their practice.
As if saying, if your practice continues to treat, just write, here are our recommendation, our recommended precautions to take, period.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then we just have bullet points of it. So we are saying, take out maybe the recommend, and we're saying that we're in support of it, but then somehow add in, but we are also, to quote the ADA, as healthcare professionals, it's up to dentists to make long-term decisions about their patients and practices. So for your individual practice, if you continue to treat, here are things that would help reduce the spread. So they know that, yes, we are in support of it, because offices need to know that if they want to shut down, we're in support of that as well. And they only want to be open for emergency procedure. But if they want to continue to do the non-emergency procedure, here are other precautions that can be taken to help protect your patients and your staff.
Yeah, good. Dr. Taylor, yeah.
What do you all think about that?
I like it.
I mean, this is based on, I think it's basically stating the same thing that we're all saying the same exact thing. We're in support of the
yes.
ADA guidelines, but we're not yes. addressing the concerns that other board members are having about the 3 weeks. Just also for the record, Colorado is 3 weeks, Florida said 3 weeks, Idaho said 3 weeks, Indiana said 3 weeks.
Illinois is 2 weeks.
No, it said suspend.
Right, so what's the problem with going with 2 weeks and gathering more information? Why does it have to be a static thing? Why can't we say we're going to reevaluate this?
I'm fine
when
with that.
When we learn more.
This is being stuck. I'm fine with
I would be fine. I would be fine with that all of this was hardy. But at the same time, I think if we change the verbiage, I don't think we even, the time then doesn't become an issue. Because
no,
saying,
yeah, you're right.
Unless the governor takes what we recommend and mandates everybody just shut down. I'm shutting my office down.
Right, I agree.
So, you know, it's not me being selfish about me, but mm-hmm. I just am afraid of putting a date out there when we still have a lot to learn about this.
Yeah, this
seems like a long time before we're going to act again.
This is hero. I agree. I mean, I don't even know that we need to put a time frame in the statement. We can just say we support the ADA's, you know, headline, and then get into the as always, the dental board hopes to urge without referencing 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Just we're in support of what the ADA is saying, period. But use common sense.
We could also, this is Ryan, we could issue a statement that basically summarizes the ADA, and then we draw a link to the ADA. So that it's not specific to Arizona, which multiple states have already done.
Okay.
So.
Good.
And it's a recommendation at the end of the day. I mean, my personal thought is on lawsuits, I'm not certain that they would have, because it's a recommendation, it's not a mandate.
Right.
The only two people that can do that are the two agencies, the governor's office and Department of Health Services, which happened in Louisiana. So recommendation, somebody asked the question, does the board have immunity? The board does not, board members do. This is 32-1207 if anybody's concerned about being sued individually.
Right, well the board members have immunity, but not the board.
Right, that's what I said.
But they can still be sued, because I know, and Heather knows, that reason why.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We already know
that
they
all,
can be
we
sued.
We all know that one.
Dr. Taylor, just so you're clear, the ADA recommends that dentists nationwide postpone elective procedures for the next 3 weeks.
I just said I don't agree with that. That's dangerous. They have no scientific based knowledge on recommending that. Like I said, in February 15th, there's a paper written by a Jing Pang that says there has been no evidence of transfer of Conan virus in the dental office. Just like what happened with HIV and hepatitis and all that stuff. There's been no
explanation.
Yeah. Not yet.
And this is Dr. Morrow. And, you know, I too agree with Dr. Taylor. I think that we're making a bigger deal out of it than it needs to be. But again, my personal feeling aside, we still have to err on the side of being conservative. And the side of being conservative is to agree with the ADA.
I agree with Dr. Martin.
I'm not disagreeing, but I don't think it's a mandate that we shut the offices down for 2 to 3 weeks, other than emergency care.
But Dr.
And they came out with a list of what is considered emergent care versus non-emergent care.
Yeah.
And are we going to be doing full cosmetic veneers on Tuesday? No? You know, and that would be the ideal, because that is an elective procedure that can be done in 3 weeks. So there's a whole list of emergent versus non-emergent care.
Yeah, and this is Dr. Hero. I think we should circulate that list. So isn't it termed essential versus non-essential?
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Essential versus non-essential.
That's a pretty good list, and it'd be good to circulate that around to the other board members if we can get that out.
Agreed.
I have it right here on my phone.
And to your point, Dr. Taylor, in addition to the bullet points of different policies that people could help to reduce the risk of exposure, do you all want to add something that where it literally says that each office will make the ultimate decision?
It's an individual decision.
And still say that we're in support of the ADA's recommendation, but also we as a board, based on that last paragraph, we're again quoting the ADA and say that we are leaving it up to each individual office, and it's just based on their patient base. You know, somebody out in some city, they probably should set down their geriatric patients.
And don't say individual office, it's licensed practitioner is the right verb.
Yeah, licensed practitioner. So we could, all are in agreement with that. I think we're all in agreement. I think it's just a matter of the words, and that's what it comes down to with that. So if we were to add that in and then add in the bullet points, again, I pulled all that stuff right off of the California, and it was, they had amazing recommendations, I felt.
Yeah. This is Dr. Taylor. Yes, I agree. Thank you.
Can you email that to everybody?
What I wrote down?
Yeah. Oh, no, the California recommendation.
It's in our board packet.
It was in our board packet. Yeah.
Oh, did I miss that? Okay, good.
I would have to find it. And there's three or four parts of it.
Yeah, I have it then.
You know, the other thing that was in there is there was a letter that was from Massachusetts, and it was something that I thought was good as well, that we follow precautions developed by the CDC to protect both healthcare personnel and patients. So it was something that they had come up with to post on their site. And I thought if we were in agreement with how we are moving, which it seems like we are, that was something else we could modify to, in addition to our own statement, but then something that offices could pull directly possibly from our website, and that they could distribute to the patients as well. So not just our recommendation, but something that they could pull from us that they could distribute to patients. Did you guys see that? That's on page 52. I know that. I marked that page down.
The California stuff starts on page 12.
Yeah, I have it right here. Thanks.
And again, this is Dr. Taylor. Thank you, Dr. Beanstalk, for all that you've done to do that.
You're welcome.
It was,
but I'm still
unclear
as
well
to what we've decided. Are we supporting the ADA? Are we not supporting the ADA?
We're supporting the ADA, but we're being careful. We're being careful on our verbiage.
My position, from what I stated, was that we are supporting the ADA's recommendations, but we are leaving it up to each license holder to ultimately make the decision for their, well, I was going to say practice, but however we want to word that. So yes, we're in support of it, but we're going to leave it up to each office or license holder to decide if they're going to follow that, and if they're not, here are the procedures that would help to minimize the risk of it exposure or transmission.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, I think we're all saying the same thing.
Okay, that's what it seems like.
We just have to be careful how we word it.
Yes, okay.
So, since we are in agreement that we're all kind of saying the same thing about taking out the time frame just saying we're in support of their recommendation, adding a bit to it. Do you think that that could be something that is worked on, that we tweak this board statement and it comes out to us so that we can post it and review it? Because I think we all kind of know what needs to go in there. What do you think about that, Ryan? Is that something that you can help with and we can get it out as soon as possible based on after you distribute it to us and we agree to it or see about any other changes?
Yeah, so I think that as a board, I think a board, and I don't know if that falls on you, Heather, to recreate the draft, because I'm not sure where we've landed with Dr. Beanstalk when she said that. I don't know where, other than the fact that I know we're following ADA and how we've amended, I don't know where this has landed, but anything that we come up with as a board, I think, one, we should probably vote on, and second, then it should be sent, somebody should be willing then to take what's been discussed. Otherwise, you're relying on staff, which is not a part of the dental community, other than being on as part of dental board staff. And then I can disseminate it to the board without a vote, but just so that we can get on record that, yes, this does meet what we've discussed. But everything has to go through a board staff member. We can't do a reply to all because then we break the open meeting law.
Right. So, Dr. Beanstalk, how would you feel about, I was going to say with myself, but I don't want to be presumptuous when I say that, but only because I had those bullet points already pulled out in my own draft. Would you be available? Would you want to be up for a phone call?
Sure, absolutely. I'm happy to help in any way I can.
Your draft was amazing.
Miss Hardy, can I be on my phone call too? This is Dr. Morrow. No. Dr. Beanstalk and I kind of went through this together a little bit.
Should we just do it now?
Yeah.
I think we need to get it done and get it out there.
Yeah, I think that's what
happened. I think it makes sense.
All right, let's just do it now. So before we go through it, let's just do this now. Here's what I would recommend, and anybody interrupts me, but as we've been thinking it,
Give me 1 second to open the Word version, and maybe I can try to amend it from that. So if you give me a second, I'll open it.
Can the members of the public that are here say something? Or no?
That's up to the chair.
This is not, unfortunately, we do not have a call to the public on our agenda. So unfortunately, this forum is for them to really just listen and observe today. Tell me when you're ready, Ryan.
Okay, I have it open. I'm ready. Sorry, I have it open.
Okay. Okay, so I love the first paragraph. How do you all feel about that?
I like it, but I wrote it. I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to make everybody laugh.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's the second paragraph where we're all in consensus of changing some of the verbiage from recommend to support, maybe eliminating the next 3 weeks, adding the...
What if we say the Arizona Dental Board supports the ADA's recommendation? And we can have a link to their recommendation. That's what the California paperwork did. That it had different links that you could click on and it would go to their recommendation, or we can post along with it. And then what do you guys think about that?
And then delete the rest that says Dennis practicing in Arizona volunteer we suspend.
Yeah.
Delete all of that.
Dental licensees.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Oh yeah, dental, we'll say licensees.
I thought we were just going to say the Arizona Dental Board supports the ADA's recommendation with a link to their recommendation.
And then get rid of the rest, and then it starts out, as always, the Dental Board hopes.
Yes.
Yes. And then as we finish that, yeah, and then I agree with Dr. Beanstalk, and then you finish that, as always, the dental board hopes and urges dentists to continue to be available as needed for emergency care. But that's where then, at the end of that, I think that we go down to the bottom paragraph and then take that second to last sentence. To quote the ADA, as healthcare professionals, it is up to dentists to make well-informed decisions about their patients and practices. And then we bring it up to that paragraph. And then that is the segue that we then use to somehow say that we as a board are leaving it for, I don't know, Dr. Beanstalk, your words are amazing. So you can help with this.
Okay. This is Dr. Taylor. It would be as the individual dental licensees, their decision to either treat or not treat the patient according to specific guidelines set by the CDC and the protocol of aseptic in the office, that they to protect the, both the public and the staff or those within the office.
So, and something that I had just kind of scribbled out is we feel as a board that each office, which we can change that to licensee, will make the ultimate decision if they need to limit appointments based on their patient base, office setup, and number of employees. Again, because that's because of the under 10, or to stay under the number 10. But we can, again, tweak the verbiage. But what do you guys think about adding something like that up in that paragraph?
Can you repeat that?
Well, the tip.
So I said, we feel as a board that each licensee will make the ultimate decision if they need to limit appointments based on their patient base, office setup, and number of employees.
To protect the public and the staff.
I think at that point would be a good point that we then add in the bullet points.
I thought the bullet points were going to be something, like the California Dental Association did it as a supplemental, you know, click here for guidance on how to treat patients. Like, I feel like we need to come up with a statement, and then the bullet points are like an addendum, additional resource.
I agree. Okay. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Thank you.
So then after that, I like all of paragraph 3. All of paragraph 4. And then minus that sentence out of the last paragraph that we moved up to the second, keep that as is. And we can possibly, if you want, add in somehow a link to additional policies to help reduce the risk of exposure, recommend the following procedures for your employees, and CDCA recommends healthcare facilities, including dental offices, screen patients before proceeding with an appointment. So we could maybe add that so they know that there's links that then they can see that stuff as well.
Okay. So we What about the first paragraph and the footnote?
Wouldn't the footnote be addressed in the links we provide for the protocols that they should follow? So we can maybe
link it.
You can link it.
Or link it.
Right.
Okay, so the footnote will be linked.
Yeah, I like that because it is. We are basing our decision. We're going to give the ultimate decision, which of course we have to, but we're basing our recommendation on all those things. And we're still in support of it. So it's good to have the footnote available to them to see why we're making the decision as well.
So other than the footnote being linked, keep the first paragraph, keep the third paragraph, keep the fourth paragraph, the majority of the fifth paragraph, with the exception of the sentence to quote the ADA, move that to the second paragraph. This is where I lost on how we're going to start. Did you want to start the paragraph? It sounded like we were going to start the paragraph with the quote and then say the Arizona Dental Board supports the ADA's recommendation and then something about the each licensee will make the ultimate decision, blah, blah, blah. Sorry. But
I like it actually. I like it actually flip-flop personally, Ryan. I like it that we keep the bold type where the Arizona Dental Board supports the ADA's recommendation and then we insert that sentence to quote the ADA as healthcare professionals, etc. And then that's where we have used the segue that yes, we're in support of it, but we're also leaving it up to the individual licensee to make the best decision for their patients and practices. What do you all think? Do you guys want it that way, or do you like it better how Ryan said of having that quote first?
I just anticipated. I thought that that's how we addressed it, but it, I don't have a vote.
I know, but everybody else does.
We also need to probably, well, we already have a link on our website, our webpage. Hang on.
Just the Arizona Dental Board supports the ADA's recommendation,
yeah.
And then say, as healthcare professionals,
yeah.
It is up to the dentist to make well-informed decisions about their patients and their practices, and then go on to, as always, the dental board hopes. So, like, what you're saying, Heather, and
yeah.
But I feel like it's the same thing as just quoting the ADA. As healthcare professionals, it is up to the dentist to make well-informed decisions about their patients and practices.
Yes, that's exactly. And then I just wanted to define that.
But does it need to be defined? That's the thing. Does it need to be defined? Is it better off to just let the ADA define it?
No.
How they define it and us not specifically define it?
Especially if the recommendation is to follow ADA, then they also are in charge of the definition, and then without getting into like an immunity issue, you almost create it because you're directing people that we're following ADA. In addition, I think we already have a link to DHS, which is Arizona's Department of Health Services, that ultimately, I mean, as this trickles, they may actually create their own mandate like Louisiana did, which is to shut down all dental practices for 30 days. So, which I think we would probably still want to put something in there that we're also monitoring the Arizona Department of Health Services. So at the, and the governor's office, I mean, ultimately they could issue their own decrees to shut it all down, at which point the recommendations are moot anyway. Sorry to make it a cyclical conversation again.
I don't know how we say we support what the ADA says, quote them, but then define it differently from what they're saying in the last sentence. Is it not coherent at that point?
My thought process on that was because it, if offices choose to follow that and they choose to only do emergent procedures, so not just non-elective, but actual just only emergent procedures, that we support you in that. But at the same time, we're going to support offices that choose to stay open for all their procedures as well, because we're going to trust in the fact that they are making the best decision for their office and their patient base.
So if you read the ADA's recommendation, it says the ADA recommends dentists nationwide postpone elective procedures for the next 3 weeks. Concentrating on emergency dental care will allow us to care for our emergency patients, blah, 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 blah. It's basically, it's just saying postponing elective procedures, but it's not defining what those are. So again, it's up to the dentist's interpretation and up to the dentist's discretion. Without actually making an active statement saying, yes, we, you know, if you decide to keep practicing, we support that. But we also support the ADA saying, don't, you know, only do this, right?
Right.
I hear all that you're saying. I just wonder how, to Dr. Taylor's point, when the community reads that they're not, because I didn't read it how we are all in support of letting the offices decide themselves. When I read your letter, I didn't get that from it.
So maybe moving that quote, that the ADA quotes, it's up to the dentist to make well-informed decisions for their patients and practices, up to where you wanted it in that second paragraph, saying, we support the ADA, and to quote them, this is what they say.
Right.
I feel like is enough of a statement or a position for our board to take without saying, but if you know, because it's up to their interpretation anyway. And we hope that our dentists are fair and prudent and reasonable in their definition of elective procedures.
Right. So I would be okay with that. And then as long, or in addition, since we talked about having the link for the additional policies to help reduce the risk of exposure, that they will then also have that information as well.
Okay.
With the bullet points is what I'm talking about, how we have that talk about adding that in for additional information as well.
What does everyone think?
How does everybody else feel about it?
I mean, I think we're all in agreement, right?
Okay, do you want to...
Do we need a motion to approve?
Do we need to read it again? Mrs. Hardy, what do you want to do?
Okay, let's ask... Ryan, would you mind reading it?
So...
With the changes?
I don't have all of them because I have been interrupted with other conversations regarding other avenues, so I have let you guys speak and interrupted or interjected where I could, but I don't have the whole, I have a lot of it, but the second paragraph is still the one that is.
Okay, so I don't think we need to read all of it. How about I say with what I think we are in agreement for the second paragraph?
Okay.
So the second paragraph would read, the Arizona Dental Board supports the ADA's recommendation.
With a link.
With a link. And then we would say, to quote the ADA, as healthcare professionals, it is up to the dentist to make well-informed decisions about their patients and practices, end of quote. And then to finish, back to the second paragraph, as always, the dental board hopes and urges dentists to continue to be available as needed for emergency care and services, but to take appropriate and enhanced precautionary measures for patient safety as well as the safety of their staff and themselves. And then the other two paragraphs are as written. And the last paragraph is only minusing that one sentence. And then we add on other links with the bullet points that the California Association had. Additional policies to help reduce the risk of exposure, the following procedures for your employees. The CDC recommends healthcare facilities, including dental offices, screen patients before proceeding with an appointment, information to take note of with the bullet points. How do you all feel about that?
What about in the second paragraph when it says, as always, the dental board hopes and urges dentists to continue to be available as needed for essential and emergency care? Because people, dentists reading it may get hung up at that point saying, well, now I can use emergency care.
I like that. Essential and emergency care.
Yeah.
We're at?
I agree.
Second paragraph.
To be available as needed for essential and emergency care?
Correct.
Or essential and or.
Dr. Taylor, are you liking those changes?
I still think what the ADA has said is a little concerning to me. There's no scientific evidence that this is transferred within the dental offices. And in Arizona, we got 18 cases, and we know why most of them are there. It's like I said, it's an individual decision and not being said that that we shut everything down for three weeks, because it that just opens up a can of worms.
Now, we've only actually have 200 tests out right now, though. We've only tested 200 people, and we have 18 cases. So there may be more out there we haven't tested.
We have 20 cases, and that's correct. We have not. We are short on our testing, so we don't know what's out there.
And this is Goodman. We were contacted by LabCorp yesterday, asked if we wanted tests for MomDoc, and MomDoc declined because we don't have the equipment to do the testing for patients or provider safety. Nevertheless, LabCorp shared that they had 8,000 new tests for Arizona available today. If that's true, we are going to see a huge spike in number of tests as well as a huge spike in number of positive cases this next week. And so this perspective, we're going to see a lot more reported cases. Will they follow the trend of Italy with the number of deaths, or will they follow the trend of South Korea with a much lower rate of deaths? We don't know, but the excitement will continue.
Okay, does anybody else see any other changes to that, or can we vote?
Are we still, we're not wanting to have any of this letter be a recommendation to the governor. We're saying keep the recommendation to the dental community.
So, sorry, Mr. Goodman, this is Ryan. So Christina and I have reached out to the governor's office. We actually invited them to take part in this meeting today, even to dial in, and to my knowledge, they aren't attending or haven't. They're not in person for sure. But we were instructed by their office to basically come up with something. And so the something could be nothing, and then we would have to report back nothing. but they have instructed us to come up with something. So I don't think that our, I mean, I guess what our something is a recommendation that they look into the dental profession to see if they're going to make some sort of mandate, but as of today, they haven't. They, in fact, he hasn't once said in any of his public addresses, which there is a misnomer and a rumor out there that he has made a public address and addressed the dental community personally, and he has not, to our knowledge, and we confirmed that yesterday with the governor's office staff.
Yeah, I just, if we, the governor's office has been willing in the past to give direct advice to the board, and I wonder why we're not giving advice to the governor's office at this time.
I am not shy about going to his office and providing your recommendation. So if it comes out that this is what we vote on and this is it, then I will share with them. And we'll also share that we would also, we're looking forward to hearing from his office on how they're going to treat this, the dental profession, as far as, is there going to be a mandate, or should we push pause until they come up with something? Because I think they're trying to reevaluate, probably almost on a daily basis. We get changes every single day from his staff or the HR director, who's now Emily Rajakovich, formerly from his staff.
So I think if there is a mandate, let's just say in the future, we will need to meet as a board to discuss our guidance on how to handle the dental community if there is such a mandate.
I think it'll be, but yeah, I think we should be fluid and be ready to meet.
To meet, right.
Telephonically or what. It would be hard maybe to meet often, only because of there's other mandates coming out with now 10 people in a room, and which I think we're already over. We've already overseen that capacity today in here. But I think we have some social distance. But but if there is a mandate from the governor's office, we will post that on the website, and I don't know that we would have to meet to agree upon the mandate. We would just post it, and then everybody would have to follow it. Christina has worked closely with ADOA for not anticipating this, but just in general to try to do like mass communications to licensees for issues like this. And hopefully we are closer to that end, to where we can send mass communications to our licensees, informing them of important updates. We were surprised that we didn't already have that capability, but it should happen soon, if not already.
This is Dr. Taylor. One last thing, and I'll shut up. But has the medical board put out a statement?
Well, this may come
no,
as a
surprise. Well,
I don't know. I know that a lot of boards in this building have been looking at the dental board. In fact, we wrote a policy and procedure for our own staff. And
right. So why is it always the dental board and instead the medical profession just put out a statement too? If we're going to put out a statement, why doesn't the medical board? Because they're going to be the ones that most likely are going to be hit. But why are we being hit and putting out a statement when it's really going to be up to the medical board to control all this and get it going, and they haven't put one out? So why, again, just like what happened back in 1980, 82, 81, 83, where the dentist got slammed and it cost us thousands and thousands of dollars to revamp our offices. And I'm talking my office, it was $10,000 or more. And not one case ever occurred in my office, the transfer of hepatitis or of HIV. And, you know, yes, you guys, there may be a situation where it does occur and we need to be conservative and put out this statement, but why is it always the dentists that are affected the most and the medical profession is not putting out any statement? That's just food for thought. You don't need to answer me, but I'm just putting that food for thought out there.
Let's vote on this. Get it over with.
Uh, All right, Hardy, I make a motion that we issue this Arizona Dental Board statement as amended, including the link for footnotes for the ADA's recommendation and for recommendations to the offices in the bullet points that the California Dental Association has listed.
Taylor, second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Can we have a roll call, please?
Hardy?
You need a
aye.
Taylor?
Nay.
He seconded it, though.
Well, I can second it. Doesn't mean I agree with it.
Yes.
I believe Berg is absent. Dinar?
Yes.
Goodman?
Abstain.
Harmon? Dr. Harmon?
Sorry, I was muted. Is the yes.
Hero?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Morrow?
Yes.
And Seaman? Dr. Seaman?
He's probably muted.
So it looks like it passes with one voting against, one absent, or yeah, two absent and one abstention.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Can I get a copy of this sent to me, the new one, after it's written?
Yeah, I'll send it to everybody. Well, it'll also be posted on the website.
I also...
Awesome, thank you.
This is Beanstalk. I have a medical history addendum. It's a questionnaire for those dentists who are seeing patients to have their patients fill out. If it's okay, I'd like to give it to everybody to put on our website so they have access to it. The dentists in our community have access to it, so they don't have to create their own.
I would love
wonderful.
That.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Again, I think we should all thank Dr. Beanstalk. She put a lot of work into all this.
Thank you.
I agree. Yeah, thank you, Dr. Beanstalk.
Hey, Ryan,
especially after the little one is learning how to swim. You bet.
Hey, Ryan, real quick, do you know when this will be posted?
Well, I hope to get it done before close of business, but it's being 4:20, it may not be close of business, but today.
But tomorrow, then. Okay.
Sounds yeah,
good.
It'll be
excellent.
Tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have more on the agenda item number 2A2, license renewals and the completion of required continuing education.
So I'm going to be super liberal and transparent in this comment, and so hopefully I don't offend, but I offend politely if you do find it offensive. So licensees are renewing this session, or this season, excuse me, June 30th expiration dates. We're getting flooded with phone calls on CE requirements. They have, well, and so people aren't attending conferences or going to CE. And I'm not a licensee that's regulated by any board, so I'm more apathetic to this than probably you all are. I do know that for 36 months they've had, almost 36 months, they've had an opportunity to finish 72 hours. As a dentist, I'll just use that as the example. So I think that that's probably why I'm partially apathetic to the CE. Not to mention, if I can use Dr. Taylor's point, we don't know how far this will extend, if it will extend past the next few weeks. Are we ever going to have this under control? I don't know. But June 30th is a far way off. In addition, what we have told licensees right now is that all licensees that have to report CE for this renewal period have to report it through June 30th of this year, which gives them ample time, if they're short, to still complete it. You can do all CE from a computer. That doesn't mean it's all computer-based. You can do, for a dentist, 24 hours can be where it's not interactive, but the other 48 can still be done on a computer, provided it's a webinar. Webinars, while on a computer, isn't online, which is why I use the words on a computer. It's still interactive. So if you can't push pause, go to the restroom, and then come back and start play again, that's considered live. If you cannot. If you can, it's not considered live, and therefore that would fall into the 24-hour category. I spoke to Seth briefly about this, who's also in attendance. He thought that you guys may want to not make any recommendations currently and then revisit or reevaluate this the closer we get to renewals. I think Sean Murphy's still on the phone. I don't know if he wants to address the convention that a lot of people are waiting.
Yeah. So real quick, yeah, and this is Sean. We just made the decision yesterday, late last night. The Western Regional Dental Experience is actually going to be a virtual meeting now. So as long as those that are attending can have an online connection, they can watch it at their office, at home, anywhere with an online connection, including their cell phone. So we set the word out. If you're already registered for that meeting, you're automatically registered for the virtual meeting. And anyone else that's in need of C credits can definitely join, because some of the capacity restraints we previously had with the in-person meeting are no longer an issue. Okay? And that meeting is April 2nd through 4th.
Thank you. Good job. Thank you. This is Dr. Taylor.
Thank you, Dr. Taylor.
So it looks like people will still be able to attend at least that if they were waiting for that for completion. So I don't know as a board if you have a decision that you want to make. You do, so Seth was on leave for a bit, so I spoke to Mary Williams, who you guys are familiar with as well. And I don't know if this is public information or not, so maybe I'll just be cautious. But let me just state this. That you guys have within your statutory authority to grant extensions, but I don't know that you want to receive 4,500 extension requests because of COVID-19. So at some point there may be, and I don't know, maybe that's today, you may want to address it, doing a blanket extension through August 31st or whatever, I don't know. At some point, well, we don't know on legislation now, on the bill that's going to change your renewal cycle, if it'll pass, because I think legislature's trying to either take a recess Friday or do sine die on Friday, which then they would have to reconvene some at a later date to pass other bills. But this won't be an issue starting in January when we're on a cyclical cycle versus a June 30th deadline. So with that, I'll let you speak.
I personally agree, this is Hardy, I personally agree with Seth that we shouldn't make a decision right now until we see how far this goes. If this ends up being a two-week thing and schools open back up and everything goes back, you never know. Or if this continues and we are continuing to be a bit more quarantined, then it may be something that I feel we need to address, but I think it's a little too early.
Yes, this is Dr. Taylor. I agree with Heather. And plus, I guess I'm not very sympathetic, but they've had 36 months to do it, and to wait to the last minute is really shows a lack of judgment on their part. So I would say let this thing kind of play out, see how things go. Remember, this is a sunshine state, and this virus hates sunshine.
This is Harmon. I agree with all the above. My only concern is if we don't address this again until the next board meeting is May, and then renewal is June. So that's...
I agree, Dr. Harmon, that maybe we should address it in April, a couple weeks before the next board meeting. Is that what you're thinking? I was kind of thinking the same thing, Dr. Harmon.
So this is Marilyn. I think that since everything's on virtual now, I was worried about the convention, but that just took all the worry away. People can still be their CDs for that.
Yep, good.
Yeah, Sean, we got the email about that too, just so you know, a little peace of mind, it went out.
Great, thanks so much. Appreciate that follow-up.
So I say with this, we take no action and we just let things play out. And if we see something over the next few weeks, we can always reconvene regarding it.
Does this need a motion? This is Dr. Taylor.
I think it makes it easier for staff to convey to members of the public, or excuse me, to the licensees renewing, yes.
Okay, Taylor moves that we take no action this time. As time progresses, we may decide other than that.
Okay. Hardy, second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Agenda item number 2A3, completion of continuing education as it relates to board orders.
This is Ryan again. I think that we can probably address this I spoke to Seth about this before. After I put it on the agenda, this probably can be a case-by-case basis if people miss CE to comply with a board order. He thinks that they should write in a request because it'll be a whole lot more minimized than on this global scale of renewals. They could write in their request and provide the information that shows that the course that they were taking was canceled or wasn't a webinar. But not to provide an excuse for them not to get it done. They can make a request with the information that they have. It's going to be, I don't know, Miriam may know numbers, but it's not affecting too terribly many people. Three people currently is what she's thinking, so they can probably make their own request to the board and what efforts they try to attend to meet the compliance and the order. So I apologize, I had this on the agenda before I spoke with Seth.
Okay, does anybody have a problem with that?
No.
Okay, I'll make it a motion. Do you want it in a motion, Ryan?
No, it's okay. I think Miriam's under the direct, I think she gets the direction.
Okay, perfect. So we'll move on to agenda item number 2A4 for the initial licensing concerns. Did you want that to also be a case-by-case basis in the same manner?
This is probably similar to item 2 because of schools. We don't know exactly how this is affecting. We do know that REBS already canceled a lot of their, well, and so is the CECA, their exams. So I don't know that this really affects any current applicants of the Arizona board, but we just wanted to put it on your radar. This is literally on the agenda just to put it on your radar, similar to the CE. If there's a need to address it in the future, we just wanted you to know that we are fielding calls on this now as well.
So this is Dr. Taylor. I know that other board where you have candidates students who are ready to license, and because there's no examinations going on right now, the boards in some of those other states are granting a 90-day license, and that within that time, if they haven't taken it, then the license is revoked. But that's something to think about in the future. We can do.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, I agree. We can cross that as we see what happens with the exam. Okay, so agenda item number 3, summary of the current events.
There's no toilet paper.
Anything for us, Brian?
Just a couple. One real quick announcement. Dr. Seaman and Morgan Berg are, for whatever reason, I'm getting text messages from them. They are present.
Can you guys hear me?
I hear you now, Morgan.
Now we can.
So
okay. I've heard the whole thing the whole time.
they voted, and I think they were muted, so they voted in favor of agenda item 2A1, and then they were part of the, that was the roll call vote, and they were also part of Dr. Taylor's vote, or motion, and Ms. Hardy's second for item 2. I just wanted to let you know, they've been present, so that, for the record, that was it.
Thank you.
And we're out of vote.
Okay, agenda item number 4, discussing and possible action items for future meetings and agendas.
I don't know how you want to address
okay.
a possible, do you want to put something on the calendar sometime the week of, I think it's March 30th, for a telephonic meeting to address other issues, or do you want to play this by ear? It makes it easier for staff if there's something that we can anticipate. That way we can work toward getting a telephonic meeting prepared versus trying to do it. This was a short time frame, and I appreciate everybody's willingness to meet. But I think it's probably, and if we don't need it, we don't need it. We'll just cancel the meeting. So I can put like another telephonic meeting that week if that works for everybody. And then that way.
That's fine. We can put that on the calendar for the 30th, and if so, then we can use it. If not, then we can cancel it. I agree.
Okay.
What if we do Friday the 3rd? It's the same week, but it's the Friday.
Okay.
Well, the problem is April the 3rd is when they have that virtual.
Oh, that's right.
The WRTC.
Oh, yes. Okay. Then.
How about 2 weeks from today?
Yes, Tuesday the 31st.
Sure.
Same time, 3:00.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Is that okay with everybody else?
Sure.
Yes.
It's fine. I'll make it work.
We'll do dial-in okay. instructions again.
Okay. Agenda item number 5, adjournment. Anybody want to make a motion?
Taylor moves that we adjourn this meeting.
Goodman, second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you,
thank
everyone.
You.
Thank
bye.
You.
Thanks,
thank
everyone.
You all. Take care,
everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Good night.